Good morning. So we're continuing our series called God Still Speaks. We're talking about how God actually talks to us still. When I went to college, I actually went there to major in music. Now, I didn't know how to play piano before I went. I played trombone, and my very first year, I went there, and the guy who was trying to recruit me was like, "You are such a good trombone player. You are the best trombone player this college has ever had, so you don't have to take piano class." I was like, "But doesn't every music major have to take piano?" He's like, "Yeah, but not you, because you're too good." And I was like, "Oh, that's what I'm talking about," right? So I was like, "I'm going to that school, man." So I went to Tabor College. My first year there, I'm majoring in music, I'm playing trombone, I'm not doing piano like all the other music majors. Like, "Why aren't you doing piano class?" I'm like, "I'm too good for that." Felt good. Well, then the director of the music program left. He retired. And we got a new director. And I come into class my sophomore year. We start school. The director calls me in his office, and he's like, "Hey, I see here that you're not taking piano." I was like, "That's right. I'm too good for it." The other guy said, and he's like, "Look, I don't know who you are. I don't know what that other guy said, but everybody takes piano when I'm the director." And I was like, "Oh, no." Because now I've got to do 4 years of piano in 3 years. Now, I don't know about you, but I like fast and efficient. Anyone else here like to be efficient? Yeah? I hate being inefficient. And so I'm like, "Man, I got to learn this fast." So the problem was they tried to put me in the piano class, but the piano teacher in her class was already full because the school had already started. So they gave me piano lessons from one of the vocal teachers who didn't know how to play piano. She told me straight up, she's like, "I'm not a very good piano player." So I'm learning how to play piano from the vocal teacher, and I'm not sure what I'm doing, but I'm trying my best. I'm not a lazy guy. I'm working hard at it. And then my next year, because I'm my junior year, and I get into piano lessons with the actual piano teacher. I sit down, she's like, "Okay, so would you show me what you can do?" I'm like, "Sure." You know, I'm playing the scales, and she's like, What'd you just do? Do that again." I was like, "It's like, that's wrong." I was like, "It sounded right to me." She's like, your hands. "Your hands are all wrong." I'm like, "What do you mean?" And she said, "The way I had learned piano the previous year was like backwards. I had all my fingers on all the wrong keys going in the wrong directions. And now I'm like, this is why piano is so difficult. Like, it was so hard my second year of college. And like, now it's all making sense. But now I've got 2 years to unlearn a year of bad piano and to learn 4 years of piano. Now, I like fast and efficient, but that's just insanity. Give me an F, you know what I mean? That's just stupid, right? I'm like, what am I going to do now? So I'm trying to be super fast, super efficient. But honestly, I was slow. I was super slow because not only did I have to learn, I had to unlearn bad behaviors. And unlearning bad behaviors is a long process. Give me an amen if you know what I'm talking about. We're going to talk today about how God speaks to us, and the unfortunate truth is it's not a fast process. I want you to hang with me today, though. Can you hang with me on this? All right, I want you to look at Psalm 23, verse 3b. It says, "He," that's God, "guides me along the right paths." We're going to be in Psalm 23 this whole morning, but verse 3 tells us, God guides me along the right paths. And that's what we're talking about. We want God to guide us. We want God to tell us what to do. I think God does talk to us. One day I was driving down the street. I'm going down Cloud Street here in Salina. It's a pretty busy street. There's a lot of people that walk up and down the sidewalks on the street. And so I'm just driving, minding my own business, and it just hits me like a ton of bricks. God says, "Pray for that guy right there in the cowboy hat. Just go talk to him." I'm like, "What the? That was weird." So I just keep driving. I'm like, "I'm not doing that. That's weird," right? Like pulling up behind someone to be like, "Hey, God told me to talk to you." Right? You heard my story last week. That was weird enough. This is extra weird. So I just kept going, but it wouldn't go away. God was like, "Go talk to him." Now, I always carry those cards for our church, those little invite cards in my wallet. So I just turn the car around. I pull up behind this guy, get out, pull out one of these cards. I'm like, "Hey, man, I want to invite you to our church." You know, it's a good opening line. It's better than, "God told me to talk to you." So I'm like, "Hey, man, I want to invite you to our church." And he turns around, huge cowboy hat on. I couldn't see his face. And when he looks up, there's just tears streaming down his face, all over, just sobbing. I was like, "Whoa, what's going on?" He said, "I just got out of jail. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to find God." Now you tell me, was that a God moment or was that a coincidence? That's a God moment, right? Like, I think God spoke to me and I think God can speak to you. But here's the deal. When God tells us do this, we have to obey. And we want God to tell us to do this, but we don't always want God just to tell us to go talk to strangers. We want God to tell us stuff about all sorts of things in our lives. We want God to tell us, like, should I go back to school or should I go to work? Should I have this relationship with this person or should I not? Should I move or should I stay here? I mean, it would be amazing if God would make those sorts of things clear for us. Give me a yeah if you agree with that. Right? It would be amazing. And I want God to speak to you about those things. And I'm going to teach you how to hear God's voice in the next few weeks. But there is a big problem.
Hi, Dad.
Oh, hi. Hi, Jaden. How are you? Everybody, this is my daughter, Jaden. Can you say hi, Jaden?
Hi.
How are you doing, Jaden?
Hi. It isn't working.
It's not working? Is this microphone working? Check 1, 2, 3, 4. Hi. Check. There you go. All right. Hi. How you doing?
Hi. Should I go to the bowling alley or to my friend's house?
Bowling alley or friend? Well, I don't know. Which one do you want to go?
Just tell me.
Well, do you like bowling?
Just tell me.
I'll tell you. I remember that one time you were
just
trying to.
Just tell me.
Dude, I'm trying to tell
Can
you.
Can I have my allowance?
Allowance. Yeah, I want
to
give
just
you.
Just give it to me.
Okay, Jaden, I want
to
give you.
No, just give it to me.
Listen to me. I love
give
you.
Give it to me.
Okay, now. Is this the type of relationship a good parent wants to have with their kid? No. Some of your parents are like, but it is. No. Right. This is not the type of relationship a good parent wants to have with their kids. Now, Jaden could say, and I want you to listen, this is important. Jaden could say that she was asking her father to lead her, couldn't she? She was saying, should I go to the bowling alley or should I go to my friend's house? She was asking me where she should go. Jaden could say she was asking her father for father's blessings, right? Can I have my allowance? Jaden was also going for efficiency, and that's a problem. You know why? Because relationships aren't meant to be efficient. Relationships aren't meant to be efficient. Relationships are meant to be a communion between two people. You know what communion means? Let's write this down. Communion is this: sharing of intimate thoughts and feelings with one another, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You can write that down, okay? I want to have communion with my children. I don't want my children just to come up to me, tell me if I should go bowling or my friend's house, right? That's not what I want for my children. I want to have this communion between us. All right, Jaden, thanks for doing this. Can everybody clap for Jaden? This is great. Now, if you would turn to Psalm 23, we're going to learn more about that sort of communion and how that works. Psalm 23, you'll find it on page 441 of your Bible. It's going to be at the bottom corner here is where it starts. Then you'll have to flip over to the next page once we get going, okay? So Psalm 23. Now, while you're turning there, Psalm 23 was written by a guy named David. David was a king. He was the king of Israel. He wrote this. God actually spoke to David. So we're going to learn from someone who God spoke to. If we want to learn how God speaks to us, we're going to learn from David. Because God spoke directly to David. God brought prophets to speak to David regularly. David wrote parts of the Bible. God spoke through him, to him, and around him. So if we want to learn from anyone what this is like, we're going to learn from David. And listen to how David describes this sort of interaction with God, right? This is Psalm 23, verses 1 to 4. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths," right there, he's guiding me, "for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley or through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." These are some beautiful verses. Give me a nod if you've heard these verses before, yeah? Right? So many people have heard these. We use them all the time. But this is about communion between us and God, isn't it? I want to have this sort of communion, this relationship with my children. I want to have this sort of relationship with my wife, right? My wife doesn't want someone who just comes home and says, "Hey, honey, I went to job, I earned a paycheck, I just mowed the lawn, now let's have sex so I can get done with this," right? That's not the type of relationship my wife is looking for. My wife wants a husband who's going to love her, speak to her, listen to her, spend time with her, go on walks with her. We should have that type of relationship with God, but what we often want from God is more of a magic eight ball type relationship. You know what I'm talking about? We're like, "God, should I ask the girl out or not? Doesn't look promising." All right, "God, should I take the job or not? God, will this sermon be less than an hour long? Don't count on it. Okay, well, right. Well, just like, God, what should I, and we want God just to give us the answer to problems we're throwing out there without any relationship. Now, Psalm 23b, verse 3b says, he guides me along the right path. Right? God is going to guide you. I believe God will speak to you, but you cannot separate this verse from the rest of Psalm 23. You cannot separate the idea that God tells us what to do from the idea that God wants a relationship with you. The truths that we're going to talk about in this series will reveal how God communicates to us, but it's going to reveal something today. It's super important. Before anything else, you got to get this. You ready? You can write this down. Communion cultivates communication. Communion cultivates communication. Will you say that with me, please? Communion cultivates communication. When you have communion with God, sharing of intimate thoughts, feelings, right? You get to know him in a deep way. That cultivates, that develops the type of relationship where God will communicate with you. Jaden came up here and she kept saying, you know, can I go bowling or should I go to my friend's house? And she wasn't trying to cultivate a relationship, was she? She wasn't trying to have communion with me. She just wanted me to give her an answer. Communion cultivates communication. If she would have spent time with me, Dad, how you doing today? Hey, Dad, what do you think I should do? Bowling or going to my friend's house? And I'd be like, well, I don't know. Which one do you like more? Well, I kind of like bowling, but I haven't been with my friend for a long time. You know, we would have talked about this. We would have talked through it. I would have led her. I would have guided her. Communion cultivates communication. Are you catching on to what this means? Having communion with God is the same way. You read his words in the Bible. You spend time praying. You spend time thinking about him. Spend time meditating on him. And that cultivates, that grows your relationship with God. And then he starts talking to you. I want you to see what this looks like. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 23. Someone texted in while you turned there. Someone was watching online. They texted in and said, the Borg also prizes efficiency, right? God is not a Borg, right? He's not going to assimilate you. He wants to give you this choice at a relationship. Look at verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Let's go ahead and write this down. Psalm 23 describes God as my shepherd. Not a faraway deity, not a crystal ball or a homeboy. All right, this is David who writes this. He calls God my shepherd. And what happens is we actually put God into one of three categories. Like one of them is, oh man, he's this faraway God. Like he's not ever there. Or it's like, man, he's my homeboy. He's just down with whatever, man. He's just cool with whatever. And he is neither of those things. The Bible describes God as a father who sometimes disciplines because he loves you, or a shepherd. Now, shepherd is used throughout all of scriptures, used time and time again. And Psalm 23 is such a deep chapter. We could spend a month on Psalm 23. But today, I'm just going to give you a few pointers about what this means in relation to God speaking to us. All right, David, who wrote Psalm 23, was a, what was he before he was a king? He was a shepherd. Those of you that knew that, good job. He was a shepherd. And so this is David. I want you to picture this, right? He's got prophets coming to him. He could sit down. God could talk to him. And he could be like, man, I'll tell you what God is like. God is like this guy who talks to me all the time. And that's not how he described him. He says, God is like, well, it's like when I was a shepherd. Because David remembers back. He remembers every single day when I was a shepherd, I would go out and I would be with the sheep, and the sheep would come to me, and I would provide them with food. I would bring them the water. I would take care of them. If they broke their leg, I would carry them. I would protect them from wolves. I would be with them every hour of every minute of every day. And David's description of God guiding him is based on this idea of, we spend a lot of time together. We know each other. It's not a crystal ball type relationship. Are you getting this? This is important. King David has access to prophets anytime he wants. He really does. He had multiple prophets in the kingdom of Israel who could come and tell him what God said. King David could have sat down and God could have spoken to him directly. I mean, the dude wrote the Bible, but instead he chooses to describe God as a shepherd. He doesn't just say, God, send me some prophets and tell me what to do. I don't have time for this spiritual mumbo jumbo. I'm running a country here. Let's get it done. No, he says communion cultivates communication. If David wants to know God's plan, David needs to know God. And if you want to know God's plan, you need to what? Know God. Let's write this down. Before I can know God's plan, I have to know God. In fact, there's this video on YouTube. I almost showed it this morning, decided not to, but it's this video of these sheep. They're all fenced off in this area. They're kind of spread out. It's a large area. And someone walks up to the sheep and goes, "Hey, hey, 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 hey." And the sheep don't do anything, right? They're just eating the grass. They just ignore the person. Another person walks up. "Hey, hey, hey, hey." They just ignore them. Third person walks up, just ignore them. And then the shepherd walks up and says, "Hey, hey, hey, hey." And immediately every sheep looks up, looks at him, and they turn around. And they start running towards him, like the whole flock just starts running towards him. And then pretty soon they're all standing right there. And everybody around is like, "That is amazing." Listen, sheep literally know the shepherd's voice because the shepherd spends every single day with those sheep. And David says, that is what God is like. I know his voice because I've spent time with him. Just like my sheep spent time with me and they could tell my voice was different than the voices of other people. Look at verse 2. It says, he makes me, God makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And before we get to the communication part, because it's the next verse, but before we get there, it says, God makes me lie down. He leads me beside quiet waters. Let's write this down. Psalm 23 describes God as making me lie down, find rest with him, and be spiritually nourished instead of allowing me to run around panicked, worrying, or freaking out. Now, I'm just going to take a quick survey here, okay? By show of hands, who in this previous week has felt tired, panicked, worried, or just ran around like crazy? Just go. If that's you, just go ahead. Okay, look at that. That's like more than half of us, and this is only 1 week. The shepherd takes his sheep, leads them to some really nice green grass beside a really nice cool river. The sheep aren't going, "Ah, what if there's a wolf? Oh man, I can't pay my bills. What am I gonna do? Oh, there's another sheep here. I don't think she likes me," right? The sheep aren't freaking out about this stuff. The sheep aren't even saying, "Shepherd, just tell us what to do. Tell us what to do." They're just with the shepherd, relaxed, because they know the shepherd's taking them where they're supposed to be. The sheep are just the sheep are resting in the presence of the shepherd. Communion cultivates communication. Have you lied down in green pastures with God this week? Communion cultivates communication. You want God to talk to you? How much time have you spent praying this last week? I don't mean like driving to work. "Hey, God, I hope this day is not terrible." I mean like praying. How much time do you spend reading the Bible this last week, God's words? I mean, not like just, "I got to read a chapter because I'm reading the Bible in a year. I got to get through it." Like really reading it. Like, "God, I want to know what you're saying." How often have you trusted God where you're at right now compared to worrying about what's going on around you? Before I can hear God's voice, I have to be comfortable resting with God. You hear me? Before you can hear God's voice, you've got to be comfortable resting with God, your shepherd. Actually, I almost had you put that on your outlines, but I didn't, just to save space. But it's so good. You got to get it. Before you're going to hear God's voice, you got to be comfortable resting with him. Would you look at verse 3 now? He refreshes my soul. Okay, God the shepherd refreshes my soul, period. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. I like how David puts this. He puts, he refreshes my soul before he writes, he guides me. And this is an interesting point because a lot of times we want God to guide us and to tell us what we to do because we believe if God just tells us what to do, then that will refresh our souls. But being refreshed by God comes before the communication from God. Let's write this down. Psalm 23 describes God as my soul's refresher, not merely my fortune teller or instruction giver. God's not a magic eight ball, and when you get the answer to your question, it's not just going to suddenly make you feel good. God is a being who wants a relationship with you who will refresh your soul. Don't get me wrong. I think God can speak to you. I think God can tell you the future. I think he has with me. I was sitting in my office one day. I was in a huge dilemma, one of the worst points of my life. I'm praying, "God, tell me what to do. I don't know what to do." I'm spending time with God. I'm listening to God. A prophet shows up in my office. I'm dead serious. This shows up. He tells me what I had done, what God wanted me to do, and how it was going to turn out. He was 100% right in all three of them. If you ever think you've heard God's voice and it turns out it was wrong, you weren't hearing God's voice. So if a prophet says something's going to happen, it doesn't happen, that wasn't from God. This guy came to me, told me everything I'd done. He told me what God wanted, and he told me what was going to happen. And he was right. God can tell you what's going to happen. God can tell you where to go. I don't want to give you the impression he like wrote, this guy wrote down like a list of, you've done this, 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 this. At 10 o'clock yesterday, you're doing it. But he knew my dilemma. He knew where I was struggling. He spoke it out loud. He told me what God wanted, told me where to go. And listen, before any of this was happening, I was still trying to make God the refresher of my soul. Because no matter what you're going through, don't believe the lie that if God just gets me through, if God just tells me how to get through this, then I'll be fine. God wants to refresh you right now because this is huge. David didn't say God gives you something to refresh your soul. David said, God is the refresher of your soul. It's God himself that refreshes you. It's that communion with God. Now, I'm sorry, y'all, but you've been trying to refresh your soul with all sorts of things for so long. Some of you, it's caffeine. Some of you, it's sleep. Some of you, it's drinking. I don't know, relationships maybe. Pretty much everything except God we tried to refresh ourselves with. Give me a nod if you agree with that, right? We've just tried to like give ourselves through these moments, but he is the one. He is the one who refreshes our soul, and it's not by use of a magic wand or a magic eight ball. Communion cultivates communication. You want to hear from God? You got to spend the time with him so he can refresh your soul. Communion is real relationship. Now, there's this book called Hearing God. It's a great book written by a guy named Dallas Willard. I'm going to quote it a couple times today. This is what he says about this idea. How can you be sure God is speaking to you? The answer is that we learn by experience. The key is to focus more on building our personal relationship with our Creator and less on individual actions and decisions. In other words, don't just go and be like, what action should I take? What decision should I make? Go and build your relationship with God. Communion cultivates communication. Let me show you something that's important, right? Grab your Bible again, turn to Psalm 23:1, the very first verse that we read. And I want you to say the word shepherd when I get there, okay? The Lord is my shepherd. All right, now I want you to hear something else. Jesus talking, right? Hundreds and hundreds of years later, Jesus comes to earth. This is John chapter 10, and Jesus says this. And I want you to say the word shepherd when I get there again. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Now listen, this is important. I don't want you to miss this. You want a relationship with God? You want to commune with God? You want to actually walk in deep waters with God and commune with him, build that relationship? He is the shepherd, and that shepherd's name is Jesus. It's not some mystical thing. It's not some cosmic deity floating out there. His name is Jesus. That is your shepherd, and that's who wants a relationship with you. John chapter 10, verse 4 and 5. So just a few verses before the one we just read, Jesus says, his sheep, in other words, my sheep, God's sheep, follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. You've got to spend time with Jesus to be able to be Jesus' sheep, to know Jesus' voice. In fact, what happens is a lot of people don't spend any time with Jesus, so some false teachers come along and they get led astray by false teachers because they don't know the voice of Jesus. They've not read scripture for themselves. They don't know it well enough. And so they get led astray. And so there's all these people shouting out there, hey, follow me, follow me. And people follow the wrong people because they haven't followed Jesus' voice. You got to follow the true one voice of Jesus Christ. You want Jesus to tell you where to go? You can't hear Jesus telling you where to go if you're listening to everything else in the world except Jesus. Coming to church Sunday mornings is really important, but if this is all you get, if you get 1 hour a week with Jesus, and then you get filled up with the voices from the world the rest of the week, do you think you're going to be able to tell his voice from everything else? 1 hour is not good enough, man. In fact, we need to get this idea that is much more than, God, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. It's communion with Jesus. We got to get out of this idea that it's just I just want to know what step to take, because that's not what it is. It's Jesus wants a relationship. Do you know what Jesus went through to build a relationship with you? There's this video I want you to see. Some of you might have seen it already, but check this out.
You are the strength
Jesus doesn't want to be your crystal ball. Right? He wants a relationship with you. Right? When Jesus came to earth and he went to the cross, he died to defeat Satan's work in addiction, in guilt, in shame, in every area of your life. He took that all to the cross. He died to defeat it, and he rose from the dead. Not so that we could come to him and say, just tell me what to do and leave me alone, but that we could come to him and know him and feel his presence in our life. This series is about God speaking to us. Yes, it is. But before God talks to you and tells you what to do, God wants a relationship with you. Communion cultivates communication. Dallas Willard, that author again, in the book Hearing God, he says, our failure to hear God has its deepest roots in a failure to understand, accept, and grow into a conversational relationship with God. The sort of relationship suited to friends who are mature personalities in a shared enterprise, no matter how different they may be in other respects. Those friends you have that you're so different than, right? Like, man, I can't believe I even like you. You're a Republican. That's weird. I don't like Republicans, but I like you. You ever had anyone like that? There's like stuff about them you didn't like, but you like them. Give me an out if you know what I'm talking about. And not necessarily politics, whatever, but you like them. However, listen, God is different than us. Amen. God is different than us, but he loves us and he wants to have that relationship with us no matter how different we are. We want to have that conversational relationship. Why? Because that communion cultivates communication, but there's something even better. When you have that type of relationship with God, that communion actually eclipses communication. Can you write that down? Communion eclipses communication. I want you to remember that video we just watched. If Jesus, at the end of that video, if he would have went in there, he pulled back the demons, he rescued the girl, he walked over to her and he said, now take the job at 7-Eleven. And he turned around and walked away. That would have been a terrible ending to that video, wouldn't have it? But what did he do? Right? He hugged her, right? Why? Because communion with someone goes beyond and eclipses communication. It's like, I am married to Meta, this amazing, beautiful woman. When I first saw her my first year of college, it only took me a few days to go, man, I like that girl. If I wanted to talk to her more, I had to have some communion, right? So I would go visit her dorm room. I made friends with her brother, right? Like I did all this stuff, right? I started to go on long walks with her. Why? So I could talk to her. But eventually, we've been married now for 17 years, communion eclipses conversation. You ever have those friends that you're so close with, maybe your spouse, maybe a good friend of yours, that something happens and you can just look at them and be like, did you? And they're like, I did. And like a whole conversation just took place. You know what I'm talking about? In like just one moment, like, why is that? Because when you really know someone, you don't even always have to have the words. And you just know, and it feels good, and that's right, because true communion eclipses conversation. You build the right type of relationship with God, yes, he will talk to you. And the next few weeks, you're gonna learn exactly how to hear his voice. But he'll do more than talk to you. Look at verses 5 and 6 in Psalm 23. It says, you, so he's talking to God, right? You, God, you prepare a table before me, right? God's giving him a banquet. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What is this whole thing about in Psalm 23 now? God's communicated with him. He spent time with the shepherd, and what's going on? He says, you prepare a table for me. God's giving him a banquet. He was receiving blessing from God, even in the presence of his enemies. You got people who don't like you. You got problems in life. God's still going to be with you. He's going to prepare a table. He's going to pour oil on your head. In their culture, when you threw a banquet, the host would sometimes pour oil on the guests. This was not like vinegar oil. This was like cologne or perfume. And it was a sign that they respect you and they care about you. And God's pouring oil on your head. He says, your goodness is going to follow me. Your love is going to follow me. It's not God telling me what to do next exactly. It's wherever I go, his love's going to follow me. It's going to be with me. And he says, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Here's what's interesting. At that time in Israel's history, there was no temple. There was no quote, house. house of the Lord. David says, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm going to be with God forever. He's with me wherever I go. This is about blessing that goes beyond just tell me what to do, God. Let's write this down. A relationship of communion with God brings blessings that we can't even imagine. And the biggest blessing is God himself. You want God to talk to you? Great. Me too. And it starts with a relationship with him. But it goes beyond just a message from a carrier pigeon. And it moves into a dynamic communion relationship with the God of the universe who loves you. I'm going to skip that question. Let's go to the take it home part. All right, let's take this home. A relationship, number one, I'll begin. So this is what we're going to do this week. I'll begin cultivating a relationship with God and listen for him to talk, right? You're going to start working on this relationship. You're going to cultivate it. Whatever it takes to get to know God better, you're going to do this. All right, you'll come here next week. You're going to also do these next things. The next one says, I will read the Bible and I will read it slowly. I will think about what was said and pray before and after, asking God to reveal truth to me and how it applies in my life. So remember from last week, we learned that Jesus opened the minds of the disciples to understand scriptures. You're going to pray, God, help me to understand what this scripture means when I read it. And you're going to pray after you're done, God, help me to know how to apply this. And you're going to read it, and you're going to read it slowly. You're going to think about it. And you're not going to say, what do I think about it? But you're going to say, what did Jesus say? What did God say? What in context does this, what does this really mean? And then, how does this apply to me? God, talk to me. You're going to pray about it. And then third, I will spend time praying, not with big fancy words, but simply telling God what's going on and asking for wisdom. Between each prayer, I'll spend time listening too. We're going to talk more about this in the coming weeks. God does speak. I want you to pray, though, and I want you to pray for those things that you need wisdom about and ask God, God, what do you want me to do? And then I want you to spend some time just being quiet, listening to God. And as you develop that relationship, I think you'll learn to hear the Holy Spirit's voice. And you always want to check it with your good, loving, Jesus-loving, God-following jerk friends. In your growth groups, make sure you do that. But remember, communion cultivates communication. Communion eclipses communication. Let's pray and get out of here. God, we want you. We want to hear your voice, but we want more than just words. We want you. Help us to develop that relationship with you this week, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, have a great week.